Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
Grace to you and peace in the name of Jesus Christ. From Moses, choose life. My mother was uber organized. She was a master's level duplicate bridge player, so that is one way to describe her mind. She knew what she had on hand, and she planned ahead, and she kept track of what other people might have on hand and might be planning as well. This gift for organization was wonderful when I needed it, which was pretty often, and frustrating when I wanted to do stuff my own, meandering this way and that way kind of way. Actually, no matter how things turned out with any of us, Mother never said, "I told you so." That was a rule of hers. But you always knew, she knew, you knew, she was right. After their three children were more or less launched, my parents ran a de facto retreat center. My father got a lot of credit, for he was charming and kind and a doctor. So sort of like me, he received reflected appreciation from his professional role. But my mother was the one who was there beside you in whatever ditch you'd fallen into or been pushed into. When her beloved sister got a divorce, when her nieces and nephews and eventually great nieces and nephews and young cousins were between jobs or maybe taking a gap semester from school, or when an older relative needed a treat, when anybody in our family needed some TLC and some common sense, they would just sort of come for supper at Anna and Jim's, and then maybe move in for however long it took. When one of her own children or grandchildren was struggling, or someone who worked in her home or her friends, she was right there with resources, savvy, tons of courage to borrow, whatever. Unfortunately, increasingly, and I have noticed this about myself, as she aged, she did not deign to wait until you asked for her opinion. But all in all, she was remarkable. No nonsense, pragmatic, useful, caring person. The most competent generalist I have ever known. I tell you all this because though my mother lived a life of service, competence, and generosity, towards the end of her life, she described a lack, an emptiness. She said to me, "I don't think I have an interior life. And as I am getting less active, I literally don't know what to do." I didn't understand her because, of course, she had an interior life. We all do, don't we? And she was such a great thinker-outer. And she was an avid reader. That's certainly evidence of interior life, isn't it? This conversation haunted me, for she was reaching out for help. The most independent person on the face of the earth who had never needed or accepted any help. And I was kind of terrified and didn't know what to say. I thought, what is she talking about? Walter Brueggemann says that people formed in the Calvinist tradition imagine God as a lawmaker and a judge. For John Calvin was, in fact, a lawyer. So God appears to be a sort of day-by-day organizer, a manager of rewards and punishments, and that view certainly is legitimized by one of the major currents of Scripture. We just heard Moses say, "If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you this day, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you." Very quid pro quo. Mother did follow the commandments in bridge and in life, for she was formed in a deeply Calvinist family. She got what Moses said, "I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life." And my mother did choose life fully and well. So what was this emptiness, which she did not call pain, but it was? And pain cannot ever be reduced to just right or wrong choices, to actions, can it? Competence, planning, organization, usefulness. Sometimes they cannot touch what hurts down deep. Pain is complex, messy, disordered. And healing is complex and messy and disordered. And as we age, healing is more and more mystery. For profound healing is increasingly within. I don't think Mother ever had encouragement to be vulnerable, to admit pain, and to take the time of quiet, of silence, of inaction, inaction, to receive gifts of healing. For surely healing is God in us, in our interior life. We all were so glad she was strong and so useful, and she basked in that gladness. And though she was in church every Sunday, and I know it helped her be a good, righteous, useful person, her tradition did not give her the keys to the world of inaction in here. For isn't there more than Calvin knew, than even Moses knew? In action. In here. Dr. Brueggemann, by the way, is a big tease on Episcopalians. When I took classes from him in seminary, he gave me a hard time about being an Episcopalian and married to a banker. Such a cliche, he said. But after he retired, guess who he's worshiping with? Us. For he says we imagine God as poet, artist, speaking the words of creativity and wonder and worship and beauty and forgiveness and healing and feeding and opening out and out and in and in and in to newness, restoration, and the, as Dr. Brueggemann calls it, the incredible complexity of relatedness. Any one way of imagining God is idolatrous. Watch Jesus this morning move back and forth between God as lawgiver over and over again. He quotes Moses, "You have heard it said." And then God as poet and creator and sustainer and healer of your interior world. "You have heard it said, Moses." But then Jesus says, "I say to you, but I say to you, what about your anger? What about your lust? What about your grudges? Yes, your outward actions matter, but there is this whole life inside of you that may never get acted out, but which lights up or darkens your days, freezes you or warms you, makes you glad to be alive no matter the circumstances, or takes away the capacities, your capacities for life." My mother was brutally honest. She said she never had learned to feel at home in her interior life. Have you? Don't we all yearn for the wellsprings of love and trust that are here? For the kingdom of God is within and here, for the kingdom of God is among, which is why we are here. To be formed week by week, year by year, to be formed richly, abundantly, messily, mysteriously, not in sound bites, not in rules and regulations, but in, as Dr. Brueggemann says, the incredible complexity of relatedness. On the day my mother died, her son was in Denver. One daughter was in Phoenix, and I was in Atlanta. All of us leading productive, competent, useful lives. But in her room with her was her best friend caregiver, Ernestine, and the lady who cut her hair, Tara, and a hospice nurse who was a nun, and to tell truth, Mother did not like nuns at all. But I know in that dying hour, they helped her to enter her new life. She who had not spoken clearly for a while, she said, "I will see my husband this day." The women around her sung "Amazing Grace," and she died in hope and glory, surrounded by a cloud of perfect companions for her emerging inner world. I believe that day she was born again, in the deepest sense of those words. known, cherished, healed, loved, choosing life. Amen.